On the show today. How are you, sir?
Good morning. Very well.
Your winner's Bible is out over here, which I had a little read through over Christmas, and it's fascinating. Rewire your brain for permanent change. Tell me the thinking behind it all.
Well, I didn't actually set out to write this book. Actually, it just happened because I was working with a Formula One driver, and he'd been to see all the usual ologists, psychologists, and sports psychologists, and nothing seemed to help him. And he said, well, look, you're the brain guy, because my background is neuroscience. He said, can you help me? And I said, well, I really don't know, but let's start with a blank sheet of paper. Let's look at how the brain actually works, and let's see if we can come up with some ideas that'll help you. And we did, and they were very, very helpful for him. And, of course, then word spread from there, and various other athletes got in touch with me and world champions. And then at the end of the day, people said, well, you've got to write all this down. And so that's how the book started.
Is this the same guy you used the dog and bone on?
No, it's a different Formula One driver.
Right around the grid then.
Yes, I've actually worked with four different Formula One teams over the years, so it's been quite a journey for me.
What's the whole thinking behind it all? How does it work?
Well, I guess the key starting point is that the human brain isn't one big computer. I think this is the mistake everybody makes. Everyone thinks we've just got this one little brain inside us, and all we need to do is run the right thoughts through our brains and everything's going to be magic. But unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. If you look inside a human brain, it's actually made up of lots of different modules. These are quite distinct structures, and they all have their own little agenda. And some of these unconscious emotional modules or primitive modules want you to do certain things, and often you're not really aware of what they want you to do. And so while you may not want to eat chocolate, for example, logically, you may realize you shouldn't eat chocolate. That's a logical thought. Maybe there's another part of your brain that says, man, I really want that chocolate. And so how I've started this whole process is to say, look, yes, that's what the brain really does. How do we fix it then? How do we make it work so that all these modules are in the right direction that give you the best result in life?
Can you put into plain English what somebody listening to the show might be able to do themselves at home? Because I know you've got to make a Bible and everything. We've been talking about that throughout the week.
Yes. So the main thing for me is that the book is full of tools rather than rules. So what I try to do is give people tools that they can discover, for example, what's inside their own brain, how their own unique brain works, because everybody's brain is different. You're wired differently to me. You smell the world differently. You see the world differently, literally, to me. So first of all, you've got to understand how your brain is wired. Then you've got to say, which tools do I need to help align these modules? And so there's a variety of tools. It may be as simple as one of the things we get people to do is to do what we call an anonymous audit, where they get four of their best friends to log on to our website and give them ideas about their personality that they don't know about, and things that they need to find out about themselves. So there's a variety of tools we use.
Have you got your mobile near your landline?
I turned off, but I think it's actually, I don't know where that's coming from.
Okay.
It could well be, who knows, interference from something.
All right, okay, it wasn't us anyway. You use your Bible kind of every day to put down all your thoughts down and things?
Yes, well, another thing we get people to do is make their own what we call a personal winner's Bible. This is a little folder, usually it's an A5 folder. And it has things in it that would range from their goals, and we do it in a different way, their goals. But we also have things like your strengths, your weaknesses, common mistakes, your sort of life plan, as it were. And what you do is you flip through this little folder that you've made up personally for you, and we tell people how to make this folder. You flip through this folder, and each day there'll be something in there, because you've crafted it, that will give you a direction, an idea, a thought that helps you keep on the right direction. So that's just one of the tools we use, but it's a very effective tool. So, for example, my own personal winner's Bible, it has my name on it, Kerry Spackman, has my photo, and then underneath it, winner's Bible. And then the first section has my goals and what I'm looking to achieve. And it's not just a matter of writing a whole list of words down, because that's never going to work.
And can these be long-term goals or short-term goals? Or
It should be both. So right. You should have long-term goals, clearly, because you need to have the end in sight. but you absolutely need to have the short-term stepping stones, because I think what happens is many people have a goal which is simply unobtainable. It's like a pie-in-the-sky dream. And I call these people like Alice in Wonderland. You know, they have this dream, be world champion. Well, it's never as simple as that. There's many things you need to do to be a world champion, step by step.
Okay. Me and Lisa are going to have a go. Lisa and I are going to have a go at creating one of these Bibles and see how we get on over the next month or so.
Yeah, definitely.
One of the interesting sections is your grandpa's stories. Can you just tell me about that?
Yes, well, my grandfather was a famous New Zealand judge, and he lived to the ripe old age of 106, and I used to have him over to my house every Tuesday. A lovely, lovely fellow. And he just seemed to be able to suss out people almost in an instant. He could just sum up their character in an instant. And I said to him, "Grandpa, you know, how do you do that?" And he said to me, well, Kerry, it's as simple as this. Everybody has a big story in life. You know, your story might be you're a famous disc jockey and you're this, that, and the other thing. But he said, you've got to learn to listen to the little stories, the things that are underneath what they say. And if you listen to the little stories, and I call these things grandpa's little stories, they give away the true character of a person. Sometimes it's not what they say, it's what they don't say. It's or how they react to things. And he helped me listen to those little stories. So, again, you know, my book is full of little tools all the way through and little stories and vignettes to make it interesting. And I explain how Grandpa did these little stories on people. Being a judge, obviously, he'd seen everything. You know, he'd said, I've seen every criminal in the world and I've heard all their stories. But how do I get to the truth of who a person is? Mm.
The big question people who perhaps don't believe in psychobabble are asking is, does it actually work or is it just another book?
Well, that's the key thing. You know, so, for example, this Formula One driver called me one day when I was driving my car through London, and he said, "Hey, Kerry, how you doing?" I said, "Good." He said, "I just want to tell you, I've used my Winner's Bible for 365 days in a row, a whole year." And I said, "Man, that's quite amazing," because he was the most skeptical of all. He said, "I've got every self-help book under the sun." He said, "But it has helped me." And then I've had people like a girl I call Susie Q, who was addicted to methamphetamine. She was a daily user for 8 years, and she tried everything she could to get off it, went to all the counseling and went to drug rehabilitation, and nothing worked. And we put together a little program for her based on her emotional circuits. And, within one session, two sessions, she never touched methamphetamine again, got custody of her son back from the police, and has now been a model member of society. So it seems to work.
So could you cure smoking and things like that?
I don't like to make any particular claims, but it seems to really work for people who have had, well, in this case, you know, smoking's probably not as bad an addiction as methamphetamine, which really is a very nasty drug. So if it worked for that, I'm pretty sure it can work for a variety of things. People have reported successfully that it's helped them overcome all sorts of issues that have been around for a long time. And again, it's finding the right tool for the right issue and depending on who you are. So it's definitely not a one-size-fits-all. Mm. That's really key to the book.
Okay, good to speak to you, Kerry.
My pleasure.
Thanks for coming on. It's called The Winner's Bible. It's by Dr. Kerry Spackman, and it is available now from the Winners Institute, by the way. And Kerry's got a website and all sorts which kind of runs alongside the book. And you'll be able to find out more if you just stick it into Google. So that's The Winner's Bible by Dr. Kerry Spackman. What do you reckon? Should we give it a go?
I definitely want to give it a go, yeah. So we have to basically write down our goals and strengths and weaknesses.
You can have a little read-through when I finish
it,
if you like.
Yeah, I think I need to borrow it. Then we know what we're doing.
OK. It's coming up to 11:23 now.